Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, this visit, do you suppose we could discuss the pastoral voice as contrasted to the prophetic voice? Is there such a distinction in your mind?
There is in my mind, Dean. Kind of curious as to what your mind is saying. Did you ask that because you think there's a distinction, or did you ask it kind of wondering what I thought?
Well, it occurs to me, particularly as I visit various churches, that most of the sermons that I hear from pastors are almost like self-help messages. In fact, some of them could even be spoken by someone that was a psychologist or psychiatrist or social worker or some other self-help professional. They're trying to deal with felt needs of the congregation in some ways and not necessarily challenging them in their spiritual formation. I think of that challenging kind of message to be more like the message of the Old Testament prophets. So I guess in my mind, there is a pastoral voice and a prophetic voice. And I guess today I hear more pastoral voices in preaching than I do prophetic voices.
I would concur with that. I think that there's a distinction. It's almost the distinction, Old Testament-wise, between the priest and the prophet. The priest is the everyday life. It's the comforting. It's the birth, the marrying, the burying, those kind of things. Whereas the prophet kind of comes out of nowhere, and he's like the whirlwind that says, "Thus saith the Lord," you know, and then everybody trembles. One of the distinctives of the prophet, in my mind, at least scripturally, is that the prophet tends to address the nation more. He or she is saying, this is what God says. And it's a word of warning almost, not so much a word of comfort. In my mind, there is distinction. Probably the prophet speaks a lot more about sin in a fearless way. The prophet isn't as concerned about what people think as what does God think. You get that in a lot of the different prophets. You know, I would like people to think highly of me. However, most important to me is, am I delivering what you say? In fact, the word from the Lord is, you either tell them what I told you to tell them, or otherwise I'm going to hold you accountable, which is a terrible position to be in, because God's prophetic words are not usually gracious words. They're very strong words of warning in many ways. So the prophet has a warning side to him. It's not, let me come and put my arm around you and we'll be buddies. It's almost whether you respond or not, that's not my problem. My problem is that I have to accurately say what God has told me to say. And if I don't do that, woe be unto me. And so there's whether we're buddies or not at the end of the whole time, that doesn't matter. You just have to make sure you listen because this is a word from the Lord. So in my mind, there's a distinction, and I would be prone to agree with you in saying that in the church, the pastoral side wins out almost all the time. I almost would think, Dean, that the people who have the most opportunity to be prophetic are the media people because they have the ear of a nation. Maybe that's too strong. They have the ear of the Christian people who are watching across the nation. And they speak on that very wide level, whereas it would be odd for the pastor of a local congregation of, say, 200 people to talk about the sins of the nation. They might do that, but that's not customarily what they're going to do. So there is a distinction, and yeah, I think we err far too much on the pastoral side. Err is not the right word. We tend to veer more to the pastoral side in the church than we do to the prophetic side. Jesus had both these sides to him. It's interesting how he balances them. There's no question he is a prophet, and there's no question but what he's pastoral or priestly. He's a prophet, priest, and king. The king is a whole new ball game where he's the king over all kings. But he balanced those two well. And there are times when he spoke very bitingly against the sins, especially of the church or of the synagogues of the day. And then there is also a time when he was very comforting. He was a shepherd, like shepherding his flock in a very beautiful way. So how do you get both those things in the same person? It's hard.
It's interesting you talk about the Old Testament prophet speaking to Israel. Part of that was the prophet was sent to God's people, specifically the nation of Israel, and then later of the divided kingdom of Judah and Israel, but in some ways, within that context of God's people, the prophet was really speaking in regard to the culture. So when we think about a pastor of even a smaller local church, while that pastor may not have the opportunity to speak to a national audience, the pastor certainly can address in a prophetic way the aspects of the culture. The church is supposed to be a bulwark. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that word bulwark, but it's a barrier, a stronghold against the culture, because the culture is Satan's. He's the one that holds the culture in his grasp. So the church is to be a barrier or a bulwark against the sinful tug of the culture.
And hold up the kingdom culture and let that shine.
Yeah, draw that
in a
contrast.
Beautiful contrast. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
So when the prophetic voice is completely absent, there isn't anyone calling the church to its rightful place and to its rightful responsibilities that God expects the church to hold as the representatives of Christ's kingdom as the kingdom unfolds here on earth.
So that's a huge part of what the pulpit has to be, even as the pastoral side. I think there are people who are primarily prophets and people who are primarily pastors. There are way more pastors in my mind than there are prophets. In fact, sometimes it's very hard to come up with names of people who are prophets in the biblical sense in today's world. And I don't mean that necessarily foretelling what's in the future, because a lot of the prophets in Scripture not only foretold, but they forthtold. They told forth what God was saying, what the mind of the Lord was in terms of what was going on in relationship to the culture. I like that word, and I think, again, we have an alternative culture that we are holding up all the time. And in my mind, that also brings me to another phrase, Dean. The prophet is much more big picture. It's a big picture person as contrasted to the individual, a comforting pastoral role. So those are roles that we don't have a whole lot of examples of those. I think during my upbringing, probably another role that was huge was the evangelist role. There were all kinds of evangelists. But those evangelists, sometimes in prior times in American history, were not only just evangelists, they were also prophets. So they had this sense of holding up the good that should be in God's mind, talking about the evil that was there, whether it was a matter of justice, whether it was a matter of, the Old Testament prophets talk about bribes all the time. We cannot pervert justice by taking bribes. That's at the very core of who we are as a people of God. We can't overlook the widow and the poor. You know, we have to be concerned about these people. When you're breaking the backs of these people and you're doing it just to profit yourself, that is evil, it is wrong, it is sin. So there is a voice that speaks out for justice, which is that prophetic voice. It needs to be heard. I mean, there's no day like today in America where there needs to be a prophetic voice. I asked you, I remember sometime back, must have been close to a year ago, I said, Dean, who are the prophetic voices in today's world that are recognized as such? And we had a hard time coming up. It was easier to come up with people in the political realm who are kind of prophetic voices than it was in the spiritual realm. And that's a very sad day. So, but there's something about the prophet that they have the hide that they're able to take immense abuse and say, I'm telling you what God's telling you one way or the other. What you do is up to you.
That thick skinness, that thick hide that you talk about has, you used a word earlier, fearless. There's a fearless proclamation of God's truth. And it's interesting because the kind of people that are often attracted to the pastoral role. And of course, we believe that the Holy Spirit calls people
yes.
to be ministers of the gospel.
Right.
But the people that tend to be attracted to that role are caring people, people who want to help other people. And that is clearly the pastoral role.
Yes, right.
And the Bible talks about the fact that God gives gifts. He gives the gift of prophecy, and he gives the pastor, teacher, and so forth. And those roles serve a purpose, but that doesn't mean that an individual who perhaps has the gift of being a pastor teacher doesn't need from time to time to speak with a prophetic voice. It does take a certain amount of fearlessness, and it's good that you mentioned Jesus had both, because we always look to Jesus. He's the one that is the ultimate balance in all things. I also notice in Scripture that sometimes when his disciples came to him anticipating that he would be pastoral with them, he surprised them with a prophetic word. Mm-hmm. In fact, sometimes it really knocked them back on their heels. It was not at all what they expected him to say. They were anticipating him being a pastor, and he knew that that moment needed a prophetic voice, and so he spoke prophetically to them.
It was the prophetic side of his ministry that actually was responsible for his death as much as anything. And obviously, God was working through Jesus in a very special way for man's salvation, but the words to the what we would call the church, it was the Jewish leaders of that day, as to their sin, their hypocrisy, I mean, it infuriated them because he was taking away their income and he was taking away their prestige. And he spoke fearlessly, and eventually that was a part of what cost him from a human vantage point. It cost him his life. The whole prophetic thing is a tough one. I think that usually a minister will veer to one side or the other, don't you? You know, woe be to those who veer to the prophetic side, because this is not a culture that is righteous. This is a culture that is going down a slippery slope very, very fast. And even in the simplest of areas where you begin to challenge the culture, you get clobbered very, very quickly. And it doesn't matter if you're a minister. I mean, you almost get it taken to you faster than can be. One of the sad things as you read the Old Testament prophets is that God says, I'm going to take away your prophets. You'll have false prophets. You will have to live with them, and then they'll have to live with the consequences. So that the true prophets were in a minority as far as the prophetic voice was concerned. What an awful time those men faced. You look at Jeremiah as an example, and just you can feel his turmoil as he's going through this. And part of the turmoil, as God says, I give you a message. If you don't deliver the message as I give it to you, I will hold you responsible for the sin of the people and the consequences there. You know, I mean, that's a terrible dilemma to be. You know, you want to say, I gotta say this. How do I make it more palatable to people? You know, then, nope, I said, say it straight. Do it exactly as I told you. And then you get God saying to him, I will protect you. I will give you a hard head. You will be able to make it. I will not allow you to be destroyed. But even then, you know, it was a hard life. It was a very hard life to live. I'm all for prophetic voices. And I think I'm all for wanting to be pastoral to those prophetic voices and say, bless you. You got a hard road to walk.
In today's church, the pastoral voice has become so dominant that unfortunately, the prophetic voice has been all but lost. So we need to encourage the pastors listening to us as they go before the Lord and seek what God wants them to speak to their congregations, that they should indeed consider the fact that there is a need for a balance between the prophetic voice and the pastoral voice, and let the Holy Spirit lead them to make sure that they are doing exactly what God wants them to do in the particular setting they find themselves. We have to be open to the fact that there may be times when we need to balance our pastoral message with a message of the forthtelling of what God wants the people to hear from Scripture.
Yeah, it's well said. It's an interesting topic, isn't it?
Indeed it is. We're so glad you joined us for this time together today as we talk about the pastoral voice. You found this SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources on our website to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We invite you to browse through our website. And as we always do, we invite you to join us again for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.